vicious and deadly. The question was never whether the spear was enough, but only whether the person wielding it could bring to bear its true oppressive power. Seeking that goal of becoming an individual who could wield even but a fraction of the spear's power, Shal dedicated his life. Inexplicably, a month after he and Shal had parted, Randley was beginning to see it, that path. As his spear blurred and gore coated him, he saw it, the point, the motivation, the path to strength, the goal, the spearman. A warrior with a broad back that could take responsibility for his actions and stride forward without regrets. With increasing confidence, Randley began to use his skills more rapidly and efficiently, becoming an absolute storm of deadly bones swirling around a man, dancing in his hand. Heedless to the skill levels he gained, he pressed on until there was only action and reaction, the spear and himself. Into the spear, Randley's focus turned. If he could wield it perfectly. Unbeknownst to him, as he lost himself in the killing, glowing lines began to form on his throat, drawing out esoteric runes. His eyes, always bright, began to faintly glow, lending a green cast to the slaughter. All Randley did was grin, his spear splitting open the skull of a nearby skeleton, and then ripping his spear out and spinning, slashing several of its compatriots to pieces. This is fun. Lyra sourly gazed at their surroundings. The area around Turtletown was still a deserted, silent, rotting layer of bodies slathered across the remnants of old earth. The endless piles of decomposing flesh were a testament to the town's continued ability to defend itself, but it didn't make it any more cheery, or alleviate the stink. Lyra blinked forward short distances, leading the way to one of the partially destroyed buildings that marked the edge of the inhabited zone of Turtletown. Kim Lath, still wearing the appearance of Randedly, followed behind her. It mimicked her mobility by transforming its body into a liquid and oozed up the wall, only to reform beside her on the other side. Without alerting the armed guards, they easily penetrated the perimeter. So, it asked, smiling a peculiar smile at Lyra. The kind of bland, empty thing that Randedly would never use. One that hid cruel intentions. It sat across his features like a dead fish on a rug. Ignoring it, Lyra ran across rooftops, avoiding the subdued people that walked around the interior of Turtletown, and the patrols of guards decked out in police riot gear. Her gaze remained forward. She ran towards a gaudy hotel that rose above the nearby buildings with the town's greatest attempt at finery. The worn gargoyles crouching atop the mid-century building had a certain intimidating appeal, especially now that the system had dumped monsters into their daily lives. If she were a dumb king, she would probably choose that spot for a hideout, if only because the rest of the options were so mundane. Still, Lyra thought, looking dubiously up at the buildings in front of her. Going in the front door will just start a conversation with guards that might end in my head being chopped off. Or, even worse, somehow controlled by this king. The height is too high to blink with mana.
Now what?
Kimlath asked, still smiling. Lyra stopped and looked at his face. Even worn by another, inwardly she felt something give. This might not truly be Randedly, but she wanted this individual to look at her with awe in its eyes. Ever since she burned herself previously touching that mysterious energy, she'd sworn to stop doing this, especially because she was deeply afraid of Randedly catching her and giving her the lecture that she probably deserved. Yet somehow, she found a way to refine a wisp of something truly extraordinary. She couldn't help herself. Lyra wanted to master it. So now she reached past the mana in her chest and the stamina in her navel. Between them, something stirred. There it was within her. The elusive, violet, mercury energy she held within her midsection. As far as she could tell, everyone held a small amount of this power. They just weren't able to detect it, just like they couldn't manipulate mana and stamina as freely as Lyra could. This was her particular gift, it seemed. Ice cold and lava hot, the violet wisp pulsed in time with her heart. She touched it, and her whole existence burned, lighting up like a visual representation of a computer's orgasm, all bright lights and sizzling plastic. She took the smallest fraction of that power and brought it into her skill. After sucking in a breath, she blinked. Congratulations, your skill, Blink, Rare, has grown to level 21. Congratulations, your skill, Blink, Rare, has grown to level 22. Within the next second, she stood atop the large, gaudy hotel, having teleported 30 meters upwards. She swayed unsteadily, wincing. For a long moment, she thought she would overbalance and fall backward off the high hotel, splattering on the ground. An equally ominous premonition struck her, that she would collapse forward and Kim Lath would take advantage of her weakness in a horrible way. Pain crackled like bottled lightning through her limbs. She couldn't handle using this energy, yet after several strained seconds, her lungs started working again. She heaved out a breath, carefully wiping away her sweat before the tribulation caught up to her. Lyra's mouth quirked up.
There's nothing like that brief, wondrous rush of power. I wonder where that purple wisp comes from.
Her careful senses caught the mana fluctuation as the Randidly illusion appeared next to her. Immediately her senses sharpened. This was a chance she had played for so long to earn. Despite her throbbing head, she scanned him and caught the hint of a mana tether, right at the second he appeared. It led off into the distance. Back to...
That was impressively powerful. You certainly are the greatest mage on the planet, the projection said, its tone humble.
Lyra ignored it, staring off into the distance, feigning being lost in thought. After a few seconds, her eyes snapped back into focus, her gaze amused. The trail had gone cold. She needed a few more data points before she would be sure. She flashed him the sharp and charming smile that earned her the opportunity to become a child actor.
Now comes the fun part. We break in and say hello.
Chapter 5. Around Franksburg, Randidly stalked monsters like the cool breath of the Reaper. His pulse was even, his movements sure. His huge spear of bone continued to cut a wide path through the assembled mass of system monsters. Randidly's addition of the thorn rampart had ensured one thing. Either the monsters bunched up and impaled themselves on its thorns, or relented to approaching Franksburg from specific directions. As such, a huge number of monsters were milling around, ready for slaughter. The main host queued in a massive column of howls and growls as they imagined the upcoming combat. However, Randidly understood he'd already done a lot for Franksburg. He didn't need to weaken this monster wave so much they were caught unprepared by tomorrow's. He distanced himself with the horde proper, moving like a ghost between the bodies along the fringes. Mutant boars whipped around to face him, a second too late to avoid his spear thrusting into their side. The surrounding monsters squealed and began to stampede, pushing Randidly to attack quickly and cut a path through the press of bodies. Panting, Randidly stopped for two reasons. The first was simple. He wanted a chance to check his notifications. The second, he felt strange. Randidly's lessons with Lyra had given him an intimate familiarity with the feel of activating skills. The warm rush of stamina, the cool flow of mana. What Randidly currently felt was neither of those. It was a far more foreign feeling within himself. An icy seizing within his chest, slowly spreading out until it tingled in his fingers and toes. After a time, it flowed back up to his chest, and the longer he felt it, the more he doubted his own body, because the chill began to burn with a fiery heat in its wake.
If I asked Lyra, I wonder if she would know, Randidly thought rather sourly.
He shoved that thought into the back of his mind and focused on the feeling. Although it didn't exactly hurt, it wasn't comfortable either. Despite the fact he could continue, Randidly returned to a spot to give himself a respite and check his notifications. Perhaps the system could explain the strange tightness he felt. And what Randidly saw made his scalp tingle. He skipped over all the skill level notifications and examined the strange ones. Congratulations. Due to your actions, you are developing your own personal skill. Due to the heroism and difficulty of your actions, skill is 10% complete. Due to synchronicity with merging power, time until full absorption of the blessing of Ash decreased, -100 minutes until full absorption. Warning. You have long walked upon the path of the heretic, but you are rapidly approaching a crossroads. That path lies through a judgment. Be warned. Due to synchronicity with merging power, time until full absorption of the blessing of Ash decreased, -200 minutes until full absorption. Due to synchronicity with merging power, time until full absorption of the blessing of Ash decreased, -100 minutes until full absorption. Congratulations. Due to your actions, you are developing your own personal skill. Due to your continued practice, skill is 25% complete. Congratulations. Due to a moment of heightened synchronicity with merging power, time until full absorption of the blessing of Ash decreased, -500 minutes until full absorption. Due to synchronicity with merging power, time until full absorption of the blessing of Ash decreased, -200 minutes until full absorption. Due to synchronicity with merging power, time until full absorption of the blessing of Ash decreased, -100 minutes until full absorption. Congratulations. Due to your actions, you are developing your own personal skill. Due to your unrelenting pursuit of greatness, skill is 50% complete. Randidly regarded the notifications curiously. There were three types, ranging from great to good to foreboding. A heretic. Is that a system term? The great was the creation of the skill currently sitting at somewhere over 50%. That strange, focused state Randidly had been in had apparently been tapping into something within the system, allowing him to create his own skill. Based on the situation, it was likely fighting-based rather than a spell. Randidly frowned, struck by a sudden thought. Could that be the source of the deathly cold, followed by the burning heat? Was that what it was, the feeling of his body changing as he developed this skill? If so, then he would suffer through it in silence. A skill which required he developed it in this manner couldn't be simple. The good notifications were the minutes falling away from the absorption of the blessing of Ash he'd obtained, or rather stolen, during that hectic confrontation above a volcano. After a quick check of his menu, he realized he only had 1,800 more minutes before he absorbed it. That would be something like 30 hours? Still some time, but if he continued to display enough synchronicity, it would continue to rise. He wasn't sure what he would receive, but he wouldn't reject more skills. The final type of notification was the one about the path of the heretic. He'd noticed the heretic path slowly growing, despite the fact he never put any path points into it. It seemed it was growing in response to some of his actions, but what could it mean? Were his actions unusual? Was it due to how quickly he'd grown in power? He'd never heard of anyone else with access to this path, but Randidly supposed he never really asked. The most likely, if disturbing, explanation Randidly could think of was that it was related to his lack of class. As he grew stronger without a class, his heretic path would become higher, and eventually he would encounter a judgment. Which means the system really takes classes seriously. Randidly scowled, picturing the self-satisfied look of Newell. Do I really need to connect myself to a newbie village? But this line of thought still left Randidly confused. What then would the path itself provide? What rewards would he receive for taking it? And would he lose his ability to use the heretic paths in the future? Would the path itself address whatever was so heretical about the situation? If he could survive the judgment, Would it be better to drive the heretic path higher before using it? Was it worth the risk? Shaking his head, Randedly made a mental note to ask Alana whether she had access to the heretic path. She was relatively strong and hadn't yet chosen a class, so if his suspicions were correct, she should have also earned the system's ire. Chapter 6. Setting aside his concerns about the notifications for now, Randedly allowed himself a small smile as he tallied the skill level gains. Truly, fighting under the pressure of agony provided some bonus to the speed with which he leveled. There was no other explanation for why he gained so much in such a short time. Suffering earned him results. Although, perhaps it was also the strange, vicious fighting trance Randedly had fallen into. Randedly gained 2 levels of spear mastery, 1 in Phantom Thrust, 3 in Spear Phantom's Footwork, and Eyes of the Spear Phantom, 2 in Phantom Half-Step, 3 in Heavy Blow, 5 in Dodge, 1 in Fighting Proficiency, 3 in Haste, 6 in Sweep, 1 in Phantom Onslaught, 2 in Empower, 3 in Calculated Blow and Roundhouse Kick, 4 in Edge of Decay, 2 in Physical Fitness, 3 in Pain Resistance, 5 in Grace, and finally, 8 more in Agony. A pretty good haul for however long I was out there. Now that the adrenaline wore off, Randedly felt a bit shaky. The combat all started to blur together into a giant block of blood and bone. Still, it couldn't have been any shorter than 2 hours, and definitely no longer than 5. Randedly leapt up onto a partially collapsed gas station and looked dubiously at the still numerous horde of monsters, slowly pressing up against the thorn ramparts. Despite all his efforts of the past several hours, it was almost impossible to see a difference. This much should still be possible for the city to handle. Hopefully, there was also enough for Randedly to rejoin the fray after he recovered, without any of the defenders taking note of him. He opened the path menu and grinned. Randedly poured his path points into the Spear Mastery 2 path, using 62 path points to finish it off. Congratulations! You have completed the Spear Mastery 2 path. Walk long on the battlefield and strength will naturally develop. For before absolute martial strength, what are tactics, preparation, and knowledge? But this cannot be the place you come to rest, for ahead of you, the path stretches ever onward. You have learned the skill Fearsome Cut, level 1. You have learned the skill Pierce the Skies, Shatter the Earth, Rare, level 1. All physical stats plus 3, plus 20 health, plus 30 stamina. Synchronicity detected. Congratulations. Due to the influence of your other skills, Fearsome Cut has become Ghastly Slash, level 1. Ghastly Slash. Slash out with such oppressive speed and strength that the very air wails as you cut through it. Effectiveness of the skill increases with skill level. Pierce the Skies, Shatter the Earth, Rare. Such is the mastery of the spear that it allows you to bend the laws of reality with its fearsome power. This is a 2-part move. First, the user leaps up into the air, piercing the skies. Then the user falls to the ground, creating a large shockwave that spreads outward from the point of impact. Effectiveness of the skill increases with skill level. Height of the pierce increases with skill level. Area of shockwave increases with skill level. After he finished allocating the points, he was quite pleased with the result. Plus, Randedly even had 5 path points remaining. It helped distract him from the continued pulse of freeze energy through his limbs, followed by its fiery return to his chest. If anything, it seemed that had strengthened after he finished the path. Why would that make sense? Could the fact that the Fearsome Cut skill changed to Ghastly Slash be related? Those thoughts were put on hold when a new notification popped up, making his eyes narrow. Warning. You have long walked upon the path of the heretic, but now the cusp of the crossroads lay before you. Proceed directly to the nearest newbie village for assistance. Should you proceed without restraint, you shall face judgment. Randidly examined his status page, looking for clues regarding these strange developments. Randidly Ghost Hound. Class, dash, dash, dash. Level, not available. Health, 390 out of 479, plus 8 buff. Regeneration per hour, 227.75, plus 12 buff. Mana, 0, unusable, out of 799. Regeneration per hour, 90.75. Stamina, 401 out of 613. Regeneration per minute, 82, plus 4 buff. Vitality, 68, plus 4 buff. Endurance, 42. Strength, 53, plus 12 buff. Agility, 73, plus 10 buff. Perception, 41. Reaction, 58. Resistance, 23. Willpower, 70. Intelligence, 96. Wisdom, 46. Control, 82. Focus, 50. Skills. Soul Skill. Spear of Rot Mastery, level 499. Basic. Passive. Running, level 23. Physical Fitness, level 34. Spirit of Adversity, level 31. Dagger Mastery, level 13. Spear Mastery, level 52. Fighting Proficiency, level 41. Mental Strength, level 17. Edge of Decay, uncommon, level 20. Grace, level 10. Active. Sneak, level 33. Dodge, level 38. First Aid, level 14. Block, level 29. Calculated Blow, level 22. Resistances. Acid Resistance, level 23. Poison Resistance, level 16. Pain Resistance, level 20. Curse Resistance, level 3. Fire Resistance, level 20. Utility. Farming, level 23. Plant Breeding, level 9. Potion Making, level 33. Analyze, level 24. Refine, level 15. Pathfinding, level 18. Map Making, level 7. Sewing, level 11. Cutting Vegetables, level 2. Manual Labor, level 3. Digging, level 5. Cooking, level 16. Extract, level 1. Stamina. Attack Skills. Heavy Blow, level 31. Sprinting, level 19. Phantom Thrust, level 48. Phantom Onslaught, level 14. Sweep, level 29. Roundhouse Kick, level 20. Ghastly Slash, level 1. Pierce the Skies, Shatter the Earth, rare, level 1. Boosts. Iron Skin, level 27. Spear Phantom's Footwork, level 40. Eyes of the Spear Phantom, level 28. Phantom Half-Step, level 18. Haste, level 29. Spear Deflect, level 12. Empower, level 31. Mana. Attack Skills. Mana Bolt, level 30. Spearing Roots, level 16. Arcane Orb, level 23. Magic Missile, level 6. Healing Palm, level 8. Fireball, level 30. Pollen of the Rafflesia, rare, level 14. Summon Pestilence, level 20. Agony, uncommon, level 23. Incinerating Bolt, level 6. Circle of Flame, level 6. Boosts. Meditation, level 36. Mana Shield, level 25. Root Manipulation, level 38. Mana Strengthening, level 15. Wall of Thorns, level 7. Unique. Inspiration, unique. Blessing of the North, unique. Blessing of the East, unique. Blessing of the West, unique. Randidly wondered whether Heretic was determined by his soul skill, which was currently sitting at 499. But that didn't really make sense either. Why was this skill different from the previous one? Didn't the levels he'd gained in Green Spear Mastery matter? When the status screen didn't help, his attention combed through the sensation in his body. Yet no matter how familiar he was, he didn't find any answers. Randidly needed to decide how he would handle this. But in his heart, he'd already made the decision. After all, he was tired of dealing with the stress of the days with no release. Donnyton's cowardly tribulation had driven him crazy for 3.5 weeks, refusing to reveal itself. Although it was hasty, although it was stubborn, although it was short-sighted, Randidly was tired of being told what to do. In that moment, Randidly removed his spear, made for him by Sam. He admired the smoothly flowing vertebrae that were shaped to form its ominous body. It truly was beautiful. Randidly made a mental note to express his appreciation towards Sam for making it. It couldn't have been an easy process. He examined its system details, once more reading the simple description. The spine spear of Eptal, level 30, agility +2, strength +10. If you crave something, take it. Randidly bared his teeth in something akin to a smile. If you crave something, take it, huh? With glowing eyes, Randidly examined his available paths. Watcher, 0 out of unknown. Unknown. Heretic 4, 0 out of unknown. Oathbreaker, 0 out of 25. Initiate of Ash, 1, 0 out of 75. Phantom Thrust, 2, 0 out of 75. Empower, 0 out of 60. Path of Carnage, 1, 0 out of unknown. This time, Randidly took extra time to really think about the paths. Watcher he'd had for a long time, though Randidly was rather nonplussed over what he should expect from it. Had he access before he left the dungeon, and he already had access to Eyes of the Spear Phantom, so if it followed the normal theme of giving him some sort of observational skill, he might not benefit much. Not that he doubted there would be a worthwhile reward in terms of stats, but at his core, Randidly couldn't resist more powerful skills. They led to more path points, which meant more paths. Watcher, at this point, didn't seem very efficient. Heretic, which was the subject of the previous notifications, held a lot of his attention, but he didn't want to mess with it lightly, especially not when the system was pushing him into this situation. If there was something that he hated, it was being pressured by others. Perhaps that's why he was so infuriated by Constance and wary of Reyna. Even when Reyna's smile was such a slight touch on his will, as soon as he became aware of it, it was intolerable. Oathbreaker was similar to Watcher, in that he'd had access to it for a while, but Randidly wasn't sure what to expect. What sort of skill would an Oathbreaker receive? The only advantage it had over Watcher was the quantity of path points it required was clear, giving him a little bit more of an idea about how long he would need to earn path points in order to finish it. But that moment wasn't now. Initiate of Ash, picturing that floating face of molten stone, that irredeemable cheater that clearly possessed more power than he currently had, Randidly felt somewhat helpless. In his heart, this was the path he most wanted to take. It would definitely lead to power, if it was traversed successfully. Only, if he had to deal with another, more difficult challenge like the first one before he could pass it, Path of Carnage was intriguing, but again, the lack of a definite end amount of path points was off-putting. It would be annoying if it ended up being too high. Not the worst outcome, because it would likely have a correspondingly high reward, but this didn't seem too likely because of the numbering. All of the other ones like this, such as Monster Slayer and Pathless, started off small. His disposition still urged him away from Path of Carnage, because once he started it, he would want to finish it. And there were two available options that he valued very highly right now. The second, Phantom Thrust Path and Empower. Randidly chewed on his lip as he considered them. Phantom Thrust was his first real skill, learned from Shawl. To this day, the strength displayed by it never failed to impress. His initial assessment is that skill's flavor was why his new skill became Ghastly Slash. Randidly produced a cloth from his interspatial ring and began to wipe away the mud, sweat, and blood on his hands and face. He'd calmed down a lot since losing himself in the violence and hurting Tessa. The exertion allowed his frustration and guilt to open up a bit, no longer smoldering so poisonously in his heart.
Perhaps the true reason he couldn't pick between his two paths is because he wasn't sure what the next step was for him. Both for me and for the entire Earth with this fucked up system, Randidly sighed. His lack of direction had been driving him crazy. He should have a goal. Originally, he latched on to finding Sydney and Ace, but he'd finally faced the fact that they might already be dead. He would, of course, continue to try and gather information, but they hadn't yet seen any other pillars of light that would indicate other people in the zone had founded a newbie village. Then he'd moved on to the tribulation, but it was clearly avoiding him. He doubted that would change, although it might continue to target him with plots like the Black Tusk Wolf raid boss. Other than that, Randidly didn't have any grand dreams of punishing the instigators of the system's implementation on Earth. He didn't want to rule humanity's survivors. Perhaps he wanted to find relationships and to treasure the new ones he had, allowing them to grow. I do owe Shaul a favor, but I don't even know how to contact him. And what could I do for him? Perched on top of that collapsed gas station, his shoulders slumped, he found surprisingly little at the bottom of his heart. He really wanted to walk these paths to the end, to see what he was, what he could become. For now, walking forward was all he could do, all he wanted to do, all he knew how to do anymore. One step at a time. The complicated things will eventually sort themselves out. Narrowing his eyes, Randidly opened the menus back up. The one thing he didn't want to do was allow a notification to rule his life, to allow a system to rule his life. He would explore it, but he would never compromise on his terms to placate it. He did not negotiate with terrorists. If his soul skill reaching 500 while he had no class had some significance, so be it. Randidly put 5 path points into the Phantom Thrust 2 path, receiving 1 strength and a slew of notifications for his troubles. Chapter 7. Congratulations, your soul skill, Spear of Rot Mastery, has reached level 500. Your path is long and winding, but you find yourself wandering deeper into the darker corners of the forest, where the incestuous growth and cannibalization of bacteria and fungus reigns supreme. Your feet desire direction. You look at the dank rot. What do you see? What is rot? Warning. You have tread too long on the path of the heretic. Heretic 5 is now open to you. For this, you must face judgment. Due to your affiliation with the Patron of Ash, the judgment of the Patron of Frostbite descends to sit in judgment. Know that even if you endure through the first judgment, more will follow. Proceed directly to the nearest village and speak with the spirit to repent. Warning, in a nearby area, a judgment of Frostbite descends. If you are not the one who caused this judgment to descend, your life can be preserved by staying out of the way of the judgment and by not interfering with its quest. Godspeed. A blue whirlwind descended from the sky to the west, briefly turning the low cloud cover into a series of white hills hanging in the sky. Pressing his lips together, Randidly shot across the roof and dashed along the broken pavement of Franksburg's outskirts. Since this enemy is for me, I don't want to inflict my problem on this struggling city. The light dimmed and Randidly slowed his approach. He passed an abandoned library and crept through a grove of trees on a slope. In the small area below him, between him and the entrance to the city queued with a monster horde, a large glowing circle of sigils hovered above the ground. They dyed the surroundings with such a vibrant turquoise, it even attracted the attention of the monsters. As soon as they saw it, they fled, rumbling away in massive columns to find another entrance to Franksburg. The surroundings grew oddly silent as the monsters departed, and Franksburg's weary defenders had a second to breathe. In that moment, the light condensed into a glowing figure, standing tall in the shadow of Randidly's hill. After a few seconds, the light faded away, revealing a tall creature covered in white hair. To Randidly's eyes, it looked like a 3-meter-tall yeti, its chest probably as wide across as the hood of a car. Judgment of Frostbite, level 37, hung over its head. In the same way that Eptal had, this one's name glowed yellow. Its aura reeked of danger. Despite all of his previous confusion and hesitation, Randidly had no doubt about what he wanted to do next. Perhaps this was exactly the sort of thinking that Tessa believed to be dangerous. He leveled his spear with a grin, a manic light in his eyes. Already his heart rate began to accelerate. Before he could advance, another notification popped up, a repeat of the one he'd previously seen. You look at the dank rot. What do you see? What is rot? Is it waiting for me to actually answer? Randidly looked at the strange yeti, which pounded the ground with its fists and slowly stretched its hands up toward the sky. Several small, pudgy versions of itself crawled out of the ground, only about half as tall as a man. The little ones began to point, spraying cones of ice that froze the nearby earth and covered it with a visible layer of frost. As the spreading ring of frost began to take form, Randidly peered directly into the cold blue gaze of the yeti. It looked at him as though it knew Randidly had been watching the whole time. It raised its huge, furred hand and beckoned. It was, Randidly knew from the yeti's haughty expression, an invitation to die. This rot, Randidly whispered, is fertilizer. It is the means by which I will grow. If you crave something, take it. I will devour it, suck it dry of nutrients, strengthen myself and reach upward, because I don't need anything else but to feel confident in the decisions directly in front of me. Your feet begin to move, taking you on the path of consumption and growth. You have learned the skill Bacterial Regeneration, level 1. Bacterial Regeneration, passive skill, adds an additional 1 point of regeneration per hour of health and mana, and 1 point of regeneration per minute of stamina per skill level. Effect doubles for 1 hour after eating. Small increase in effectiveness depending on the heat and humidity of the surroundings. Grinning, Randidly removed a small pepperoni roll from his satchel and began to eat. No point in wasting the extra value, even if it would amount to very little right now. Seeing that Randidly didn't appear to be moving, the yeti roared and stamped its feet. Another 2 dozen or so little yetis popped up out of the ground. Randidly wondered whether this bastard could produce an infinite number of hench people. As he chewed his roll to engage his new skill, his eyes were on the level 37 above the judgment of Frostbite's head. He dearly wished he had mana right now. Putting an incinerating bolt through the smug face of the yeti would give him a very profound sense of satisfaction. Still, he would work with the tools he had. His grip on the spine spear tightened. Stamina flared in his chest, powerfully enough to waste away the continual cycle of chilling and scorching that he didn't understand. The fake Randidly was perhaps just as willing to break things as the real one was. It located a skylight and punched in the fragile glass. They employed their individual magic means to descend to the ground and found themselves in a grand ballroom with high crimson pillars trimmed in gold. It looked oddly cheap in the twilight. By unspoken agreement, they strode together to the door. Luckily, the ballroom only took up the eastern half of the uppermost floor. The west side was the penthouse. 2 guards in riot gear stood outside the door. Fake Randidly raised his hand and wiggled his fingers, and they slumped to the side, asleep. Lyra glanced at Kim Lath, suddenly having second thoughts about bringing the tribulation here, to the seat of power of Turtletown. She knew she was playing with fire. This was a gamble. She could almost see to its origins and location. With just a bit more, she would have it. No matter how powerful Randidly was, if he couldn't see his foe, he could not fight it. To track down the tribulation, perhaps they had enough bodies in Donnyton to do it eventually, but if things escalated to the point that the whole of Donnyton knew the exact danger it represented, it would be much more difficult to find. Lyra knew this could easily backfire. but she was also aware no one would know anything about it except the result. So as long as she succeeded, the people of Donnyton would no longer be able to treat her like a child. They opened the door and stepped into a well-lit room. Two figures sprung to their feet from the cozy leather love seat in front of the fire. Lyra put her hands on her hips and surveyed the scattered clothes across the bare rug.
"Well, don't bother getting dressed on my account," she said.
She frowned, sensing the mana and stamina flowing through their bodies.
"You both have classes, but your level is so low."
Cal and Vivian, both dressed in barely anything more than underwear, were stunned. If it was Lyra from a month ago, she would be delighted to find the leads of the movie she was working on looking so bedraggled and gaunt, especially after the hellish, welcoming party they threw for her. Now she just felt pity covered in a thin film of disgust.
"You... what? How?" Cal spluttered.
Lyra waved her hand. She was quite happy to see he still had that habit of flushing when he was emotional, invalidating much of his good looks.
"They forgot to lock the door, I guess. Are you two princesses, then, trapped in a tower? Consider yourself rescued. But where's Elaine? Did she reject your invitation to an orgy?"
Vivian's face twisted into a scowl.
"You foolish girl. You've doomed yourself by coming here, and likely us too. I thought this was the bastion of civilization, the last holdout of humanity,"
Lyra said dryly, her frank gaze moving from one to the other. She replaced it with an expression of mock shock. Was the king not the saint everyone said he was? Truly, even gossip had been corrupted by the system.
"It's not Constance, it's..."
Cal hurried to explain, but the soft ding of the elevator interrupted him. Fae grandly stepped up to Lyra and touched her shoulder, and she felt a strange skill activate. Her initial reaction was stifled, struggling to maintain her cool demeanor. A thin film of mana settled over her, but it didn't appear to be geared towards affecting her in a negative way. Cal and Vivian blinked uncomprehendingly. Lyra realized she and Kim Lath, in an instant, became invisible. Although this was an incredibly useful skill, and study of its structure could allow her to try and imitate it, Lyra's focus spread outwards, rushing after that thin thread of mana, tracing it all the way back. The thread slowly faded, like all the others, but Lyra's eyes glowed a vicious blue. "Gotcha," she thought, her mouth curving upward. Bringing the tribulation here was definitely worth it. Lyra's gaze focused back to the room when Cal sprinted to the door and shut it. He went back to the couches, forcing himself to casually lay, even as he awkwardly twisted, glancing at the door with dread. With trembling hands, Vivian sat at a desk across the room, slowly brushing her hair in front of the mirror. There was some commotion outside, and the door was kicked in. Several more guards, covered in riot gear, bursting at their seams with muscles, rushed in, waving guns. After a brief search, where both Cal and Vivian were dragged to the front, the guards retreated to the door and stood at attention. The sound of wood on marble filled the room as a small, stooped woman walked forward. Her long hair had faded to gray, and her face was a maze of wrinkles.
"Bobby Tucker, what are you doing here? Personally?"
Cal whispered, his eyes wide. The old woman shrugged, her eyes slowly, methodically, sliding over every inch of the room. Lyra leaned forward. Who would win? The tribulation's hiding spell, or the mean old lady's gaze? Seemingly satisfied, and unable to discover Lyra and the tribulation, the old lady turned back towards Cal.
"I had a strange feeling. Then I come to find my guards sleeping on the job. My instincts must be getting pretty sharp in my old age. Kee-hee-hee!"
Lyra rolled her eyes and held up a finger gun, pointed at Bobby Tucker.
"Bang,"
she mouthed. With a sharp snap, a crack appeared in the wall behind Bobby Tucker. The old woman jumped, spinning around with a speed that should be impossible for someone her age. Which, Lyra supposed, was one of the broad benefits of the system. The two guards sprinted to put themselves between their mistress and the wall, guns raised. For several seconds, everyone waited.
Fae grantedly gave Lyra a reproachful glance, though it kept its hand on her shoulder. At least in this, he reacted just like Randedly would have. She rolled her eyes. Her attack disturbed his skill, but the tribulation quickly pulsed its mana and restored it. Lyra essentially confirmed the tribulation's position. The accomplishment made her feel a rush of glee.
Besides, what's the point in having magical powers if you don't have fun with them every once in a while?
Nonplussed and scowling, the old woman whispered to her guards and hurried away, leaving the room. Right before they left, one of the guards outside tossed a figure into the room. Bound hand and foot, the figure flailed and fell to the ground. Making a low, concerned noise, Vivian hurried forward, helping the figure up, fumbling at the bindings. Lyra frowned. This bruised and tied-up prisoner was Constance. The king, the previously fearsome.
Quite the twist,
Lyra mused. Chapter 8. Randedly stepped gracefully forward, weaving in between two of the mini yetis. As their faces contorted in fury, they shaped their mouths into an O and blew, producing a cone of frost that spread out over an annoyingly large area. Their insides must be Freon. Grimacing, Randedly used Phantom Half-Step on a distant mini-yeti to dodge the skills aimed at him. He used Ghastly Slash, whipping the head of his spear downward toward the back of one of the offending mini-yetis. Congratulations, your skill Ghastly Slash has grown to level 2. Truly, as he slashed, the air howled with the passage of his spear, and when the skill struck, the monster's skull obligingly ruptured. Randedly pivoted and slashed again, taking another mini-yeti in the waist, cutting it in half. Luckily, these creatures were only level 15 and extremely manageable for him. Unfortunately, before Randedly's slaughter continued, their yeti leader arrived, furious. Roaring, it smashed its fist towards Randedly, aiming to crush him, which, considering the yeti's arm was the size of Randedly's entire body, was possible if his blows landed. Randedly's joints stiffened as he scrambled backward. The yeti seemed to produce a frost aura passively. Randedly flexed his arms and legs, a grin stretching across his face at the prospect of a very difficult battle.
I've missed this.
Randedly bounced on the balls of his feet to keep his stance correct and activated Pierce the Skies, Shatter the Earth. He leapt upward in a blur, led by the sharp tip of his spear that barely missed the yeti as it jerked backward. As opposed to ripping a large gash in its throat, Randedly's spear only traced a thin line of blood up its hairy cheek. Congratulations, your skill Pierce the Skies, Shatter the Earth, rare, has grown to level 2. Chiding himself on failing to use haste and empower prior to the move, Randedly twisted his grip on his spear and ripped toward the ground. He smashed into the earth with a huge crack, sending several mini-yetis flying on a wave of concussive force. The ground cracked and buckled, and a shockwave exploded outward, knocking the horde away like they were made of paper. As the shockwave dispersed, Randedly downed a stamina potion, preparing for an extended battle. But instead of an attack from the yeti, he found it kneeling next to its fallen children, keening in a soft voice. Its eyes narrowed, directing a stare at Randedly dripping with naked hatred. Its shoulders shuddered from bottling up its emotions. Randedly's gleeful, violent side felt a thin rush of guilt, watching the genuine loss on the yeti's face. Just as quickly, however, he felt a hot rush of shame and annoyance that washed away his guilt.
Don't go soft on me now. You came here to kill me, did you not? If you weren't willing to risk being devoured, why have you come?
Still vibrating with barely controlled fury, the yeti stood. It raised its hands and a vortex of ice formed, swirling downward from the gray clouds above. After several seconds of channeling the weather, a giant blue hammer made entirely of ice condensed at the base of the whirlwind. The weapon hung in the air, gleaming and brilliant, until the judgment of Frostbite snatched it out of the air. After spinning it expertly, as if it was as light as air, the yeti bellowed a challenge and rushed toward Randedly. The judgment unleashed a vicious swipe with the ice weapon, but Randedly did not retreat. He stood his ground, blood pounding in his ears, and leveled his spine spear, wondering just what the limit of his strength would be. He hasted and empowered himself, and used sweep. Both weapons became blurs, rushing to meet one another. Randedly's eyes narrowed at the last second. The two weapons met with a loud boom, and Randedly's shoulders and wrists throbbed in pain when his strike rebounded. The spine spear shook slightly. Congratulations, your skill sweep has grown to level 30. Wetness drew Randedly's eyes downward to his hand. The webbing between his thumb and forefinger on both hands had torn from the impact. Just a little short, huh? Randedly mumbled, frowning with a deep sense of unwillingness. Contrary to Randedly's reaction, the Yeti seemed just as shocked that its own strike had been deflected. The monster changed its stance, preparing to attack more seriously. Grinning wildly, Randedly flicked his hand to disperse some of the dribbling blood on his hands. Then he beckoned the Yeti, imitating its haughty air from earlier. The judgment's eyes glowed with fury, and the mini-Yetis began to gather around Randedly, surrounding the two fighters in a circle. This is going to be fun, the ghost hound thought. Then he struck. Lyra gazed from Cal to the crippled Constance, who was currently being given first aid by a flustered Vivian.
After the ghost hound ripped out his tongue and sent his insects in to eat his vocal cords, Cal said, glaring at Lyra. He was wounded and recovering for several days. That's when Bobby Takas struck. She already controlled a pretty large political faction in Turtletown, due to her demeanor and influence. Without Constance's skill, the head of police, Craig, was ambushed at night. He's been beaten and squirreled off, we believe. Without him handling things behind the scenes, Constance's control has fallen to pieces. And every day they lock us up here and come to cut out his tongue again before the system can heal it. Without his voice to activate the skills, the class of king.
What skill does Bobby Taka have?
Lyra asked, a kernel of wariness rising in her chest. Thinking of the sort of human who could cut out a tongue every day made her extremely uncomfortable. It was a good reminder that the enemies they had to contend with weren't just the monsters.
Although, would Constance be any better than this, if he were allowed to develop freely?
A small voice inside Lyra whispered. Cal shrugged.
I almost wish it was flashy, but it's her quiet influence that makes her fearsome. She has some sort of replication skill, rare but repeatable with mana potions. It lets her create a copy of any item. The smaller and less enhanced by the system it is, the easier it is. She's been keeping the police force supplied with ammo, which is why they've come under her thumb since Craig vanished. But they already...
Cal paused and glanced at Constance, who sat stoically with his eyes closed, and Lyra snorted.
And they already wanted to distance themselves because Constance wasn't exactly a popular ruler while he could speak, huh? Why does she even leave him alive, anyway? If something happened and his tongue grew back, wouldn't it be a problem?
Constance finally reacted, opening his eyes and gazing at Lyra with a reproachful look. There was genuine heat there, although it was an emotion she couldn't quite read. She rolled her eyes in response.
Oh, please. I've heard rumors about some of the things you did before the ghost hound escorted these two over. It's hard for me to believe you've learned your lesson and wouldn't dream of abusing your powers ever again. Do you not want revenge?
Lyra stopped herself from prodding him further, mostly because the fake Randedly beside her looked at Constance with a sly smile, as though the monster was willing to offer Constance a deal to recover quicker.
Let's not push things too far. Now that I've located this bastard, no need to rock the boat here.
Vivian turned from her ministrations.
Constance is kept alive because he's the village chieftain. There are consequences for the village chieftain dying, it's said. But the threat of it keeps the town spirit in line and allows Bobby Taka to control the SP too, so it's a calculated risk, leaving him alive. Now that she has a class here, she doesn't have much choice.
Clapping her hands, Lyra rewarded everyone around her with a sunny smile.
Well, I don't want things to become too chaotic. I just came to visit Elaine. Where is she?
The two exchanged looks, and Vivian spoke in a heavy tone.
She works for Bobby Taka. She'd be at her house.
That earned a sharp glance from Lyra.
She's using her?
Constance's face crinkled with fury. He began to shake his head emphatically and shoved Vivian's hands away. Vivian sat back and sighed, looking melancholy. After a few seconds of silence, Cal spoke.
No, she's not being used or held against her will. Elaine, she was the one that betrayed Constance and let Bobby Taka into the building. As far as we know, they're happily collaborating, even now.
Lyra hesitated. Then she shook her head. Well, I've found you, and you're all right. I'm not sure what's going on, but I've found you. And sorry, King, but you might have to suffer through a few more days of having your tongue cut out. I want to investigate what's going on before interfering. And I want to find a way to wound the tribulation, Lyra thought,
even while the fake randomly stood behind her with a devilish smile.
I doubt I'll get a second shot to attack. Once it finds out I know its location, well, I just need to not fail.
Constance waved his hand, as though dismissing her, which rankled Lyra somewhat. She chose to ignore that and departed the way she'd come. Kim Lath flowed behind her without a sound. As she passed the unconscious guards, Lyra hesitated. She pushed the issue aside. Let them wake up and think what they wanted. She had some thinking to do. As they left Turtletown, the fake randomly spoke.
How odd. Humans are even stranger than I expected. Your species certainly turns on itself quickly. Do I even need to act directly? You might just destroy yourselves.
Rushing through the darkness, Lyra wasn't sure how to answer the monster's teasing tone. It chuckled and vanished, leaving her to return to Donnyton alone. Chapter 9. Randidly released a heavy breath, staggering forward to meet the Yeti. Time and time again, they crashed against each other, Randidly's sweep meeting the mighty swing of the Yeti's ice hammer. Randidly had lost out just slightly, especially at the beginning, but he'd adapted. In the most recent clashes, he recovered quickly and used Ghastly Slash to inflict debilitating wounds on the monster's shoulders, making the next clash slightly less dangerous. Unfortunately, this beast was intelligent enough to see through Randidly's plan and made him pay for it. A glancing blow from the shaft of the hammer had cracked a few of Randidly's ribs. Even more dangerously, the Yeti had taken to swinging great overhand blows that almost completely killed Randidly's legs when he blocked him. The two stood opposite one another, glaring. The judgment of Frostbite's shoulders bled, and Randidly's legs trembled. Their eyes, however, didn't waver for even the smallest amount of time. The small Yetis had been thoroughly massacred in the clash, and were now unable to unleash their cones of cold and give their progenitor an advantage.
You savage,
the Yeti announced.
If you embrace violence and heretical behavior so directly, you will eventually be killed by it. None can escape judgment.
One fight at a time.
Randidly licked his lips and stamped his feet. Gradually, feeling was returning to his numb toes. Unfortunately, the Yeti took this as an invitation. The monster roared and rushed forward with its icy hammer raised. It trampled over the corpses of its fallen mini-Yetis, eyes glazed with madness. To hesitate or miss a blow against this foe meant death. And that prospect filled Randidly with the solidity of purpose. Because death watched from the clouds, his current goal was simple. Survive. With glowing emerald eyes, Randidly tightened his grip on his spear and followed it forward, meeting the hammer. Boom! Congratulations, your skill sweep has grown to level 31. Congratulations, your skill block has grown to level 30. Congratulations, your skill spear mastery has grown to level 53. Just like that, the high-stakes interaction earned Randidly 3 skill levels in a single moment. The force of the blow reverberated in the clearing, knocking away all of Randidly's ability to pay attention to notifications. The two foes parted, breathing heavily. The brief interlude also let Randedly notice there was some movement on Franksburg's walls. The moon had risen high overhead, poking out between the remnant clouds from this judgment summoning. It seemed like the monster horde had finally expended itself on Randedly's thorn rampart and the classers of the city. Franksburg now had the spare attention and anxiety to notice the battle happening between Randedly and the Judgment of Frostbite. However, they only watched from a distance, perhaps because of the level and speed of the fighting. Plus, there was that notification earlier about interfering, Randedly's tired mind recalled. He grimaced. Not like they would do anything but get in the way anyway. Randedly did his best to smile, his expression all teeth and hunger. To his surprise, the Yeti smiled back, its eyes bright with hatred, and in a low rumbling tone said,
"Bloodsucker, you are very strong, but even suppressed to classlessness, I am stronger. There are always those such as you who struggle against the natural order, who pervert the will of the system, and yet every time they are crushed. You cannot fight against the source of ether. There are no other paths to power."
"As pleasurable as banter is, I'm just going to kill you."
Randedly raised a potion to his lips, taking advantage of the monologue to regain some health and stamina. The Yeti chuckled and removed a vivid pink potion, downing it. Its body shuddered, and its flesh knit itself back together, its shoulders once more whole. Then it took its ice hammer in its right hand and raised its left. Another vortex formed, ice falling to condense into a second hammer in only 3 seconds. Randedly swore quietly as the monster plucked the weapon from the air. Dual-wielding hammers, the Yeti strolled forward.
"This is the day you die, heretic," it said. "I will do this act because it is my role, but I will enjoy it because you so viciously hunted my kin."
Randedly frowned and made his own preparations. He shifted his stance and adjusted his grip on his spear. Not only did the Yeti have potions, it seemed as though its potions were an even higher quality than his. He made a private note to experiment more with potions, so he could create a similarly miraculous pink liquid. "My ability to always have potions is one of the big reasons I've done so well," Randedly bit his lip. "It definitely does not feel good to be on the receiving end of this." Just as the two duelists were about to charge at one another once more, a voice yanked both of their attentions around.
"Actually, Randedly won't be dying today. Humans aren't the type to abandon each other."
Randedly stumbled to a stop, both because he hadn't heard anyone coming and because that voice was so familiar. He turned to find Lyra standing next to him with a bright smile. Her appearance down by Franksburg was so sudden that his mind sputtered for a few brief moments. Something inside Randedly tightened and then relaxed. His senses tingled with the slightest hint of danger, due to how easily she'd approached him. Compared to Tessa, Lyra embraced the system. She never questioned the necessity of his actions or told him he endangered the people of Donnyton. She simply observed the situation and agreed with his approach. I probably didn't give her enough credit for that. Since the Yeti seemed willing to examine the situation before attacking, Randedly allowed his expression to soften. Elaine asked me to protect her, so I ignored what she was saying and just tried to keep her safe. But perhaps putting her in controlled combat situations would be the real way to protect her. Helping her become stronger is important. Not that she seems to need my help with her mana manipulation.
What are you doing here?
Randedly asked. Lyra winked at him, her expression still warm and winning.
Do I need a reason to visit you? I missed you, Randedly Ghost Hound.
Randedly's expression stiffened. He examined Lyra one more time.
So, there are no hard feelings about the way I ignored you before I left?
None,
Lyra replied. His phantom thrust took her in the chest, where a heart would be on a human. His movement was smooth and sudden, without the slightest hint of hesitation.
Congratulations, your skill Phantom Thrust has grown to level 49. I may not know Lyra very well, but I know she's stubborn, Randedly said, to a fault. She wouldn't bend and come down to see me without some big accomplishment to flaunt in my face, especially in such a short amount of time.
Lyra blinked and vomited out a mouthful of blood.
Randidly, why?
Randidly frowned in annoyance. That sense of danger he felt grew stronger. He yanked the spear out of her chest and backed away to create some distance. I'm quick, but her blink would have let her avoid it. I should have guessed from the fact you felt dangerous. I've been looking for you for a long time. Even if I'm distracted, you made a mistake by coming here. The Yeti folded its arms, in a way displaying it was perfectly willing to allow this new confrontation to occur. Perhaps it had some strong feelings about chivalry. Randidly's arms blurred as he unleashed a ghastly slash, bisecting Lyra's body entirely. A spray of blood covered Randidly, wet and warm. Then it all evaporated into mist. The mist recondensed several feet away. Still Lyra, still smiling prettily with a wound pumping blood out of her chest. But a new name hung above her head. Kim Lath, the Tribulation of Many Faces, level 38.
I won't let you harm Donnyton, Tribulation, Randidly said, leveling his spear.
The creature raised its hands.
Don't bluff me, boy. I know you don't have access to mana, and even if your stamina recovers, you're exhausted from fighting that judgment. You will not be able to defeat me. Amusing, too, that the system believes you to be a heretic.
The illusion morphed and shifted, turning into another 3-meter-tall Yeti with 2 large ice hammers.
Your interference is unnecessary,
the judgment of Frostbite said. The new Yeti laughed, Lyra's voice still emanating from the massive, muscular body.
You are bound by the will of your patron. You are judgment. Descend upon the heretic and end his transgressions with me. Then the game I'm playing with these 2 human villages can go on for a long while.
The first Yeti frowned, but said nothing as it began approaching Randidly once more. The reminder of his duty appeared to move the judgment, despite its earlier hesitation. Unable to resist it any longer, Randidly began to laugh. It was long and loud, and came from his gut. Double the difficulty? Perhaps more, with the addition that each had 2 hammers. This is exactly what he needed. His blood could have boiled in his veins. The more frightened portion of him twisted with worry. But right now, the ghost hound was in control.
Fine then. Both at once, Randidly said, settling into his stance with hungry eyes.
The more danger, the more fertilizer, the better. The faster he would grow. The faster he could acquire the power he needed to survive.
If you crave something, take it.
In that moment, there was nothing Randidly craved more than power. He activated agony and threw himself at the Yetis, his spear howling through the air toward the Tribulation of Many Faces. Chapter 10 Lyra made it to the outskirts of Donnyton before she hesitated to go any farther.
I'm already out. I know Kim Lath has gone somewhere else, and I don't think I'll be able to sleep before I understand what happened.
She pivoted and headed back toward Turtletown. Lyra didn't head toward the cluster of buildings surrounded by haphazard post-system fortifications that stunk of fear. She'd had quite enough of Vivian, Cal, and Constance for one night. Instead, she headed across town. With her eyes of wonder, she was able to pick out 100-odd mana pools floating west of Turtletown in a tiny little hamlet. They resembled a meadow filled with fireflies, somewhat mysterious and naturally gorgeous. It was also, Lyra hoped, where she could find answers about what happened to Turtletown. The hilly terrain continued to the west, becoming increasingly gentle and rounded. It wasn't long before Lyra entered an area where the forest had been trimmed back and manicured, leaving the trees in predictable rows. She passed through a budding orchard and crossed the beginnings of a farm. Lyra crested the top of another hill and took a moment to scan the valley below. A 10-meter-tall waterfall cut into the ridge on the opposite side. Buildings were clustered around the pool at its base. like sinners seeking absolution for their crimes.
The water might not be falling far,
but the noise was a constant companion in this small valley. There were a few guards posted within the trees, but with Lyra's ability to manipulate mana, it was easy to distract them and slip past. She approached slowly, unsure of what she should do, until she sensed a familiar presence amongst the people moving between the buildings. Lyra found Elaine picking vegetables in a cramped space. It was a strange sight compared to the massive farm started outside of this secluded area. Most of the wooden dwellings in the valley were built close together. The only free space not used for walking was the 1 meter wide alley between houses. Lyra suddenly felt awkward. She'd slipped into a strange area and was about to interrupt this woman in her nighttime gardening. But after hearing that Elaine betrayed Constance and was the cause for his tongue being cut out every day, Lyra stepped forward.
Elaine? Is that you?
Lyra wasn't sure what she had been expecting. Perhaps a twitch, a look of shock, or Elaine freezing. What she didn't expect was Elaine to smoothly stand and twirl to face her with a wide smile.
Lyra, what a delight to see you. I had no idea you were even considering joining the sanctuary. This is also your lucky day. My previous neighbor moved over by the production facility, so we can be neighbors. What?
Lyra blinked several times, shaking her head.
Elaine, I'm not moving in. I just wanted to make sure you were all right. Of course I'm all right. Everything in the sanctuary is peaceful.
Elaine replied so quickly and naturally, Lyra knew the line was practiced. Elaine tilted her head to the side.
What do you mean you aren't moving in? You're here already, aren't you? And no one is allowed into the sanctuary unless they mean to stay forever.
Lyra shivered. Something cold and biting slithered out of the depths of her soul. After her time working in Hollywood, she could easily imagine the sort of power-hungry individuals that would confine a group with the advantages of the system.
Don't worry, Elaine. I'll get you out of here. Did they threaten you? Is that why you helped them capture Constance? Threaten me? Lyra, they saved me!
Elaine seemed aghast, stepping forward out of the cramped garden area, revealing her homespun wool dress. It was an odd sight to see on the former diva of the silver screen.
Turtletown tried to create a new government, but it was obvious it couldn't happen with Constance at the head. Hell, no one could be a leader with the system. It gives one person too much power. That's why the sanctuary was founded, to create a safe space to return to a time before the system. We don't need to fight and die.
Lyra couldn't decide what sort of expression she should make. The older woman's eyes glowed with such absolute faith, it threw the